Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and welcome to episode number 9 of Big Decisions. It's the international break, ladies and gents, isn't it? It's kind of quiet in terms of football. Some of you might hate them. Some of you might enjoy a bit of the reset, the recharge, I suppose, and the calm before the storm, as it were, again, before everything gets going. I think it's wank. I think international breaks are absolutely wank. I don't watch any of the football. I've no interest in it at all, but hey ho, and listen, I respect everyone who's, you know, passionate for their countries, gets behind it. Fair play to you all. But for me, the whole Ingerland thing, no, not at all. But there we go. So I'm your normal host, Dave Davis, coming to you from a windy and cold Edinburgh, it's got to say. Or be said. Hopefully it's good where you are. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about various things, ladies and gents. We're going to be honest about international breaks. We're going to talk about the fixtures, the title race that's now beginning for many people, the midfield, the players, who's doing what, etc. So plenty, plenty to be talked about. And we might as well start with the international situation, the whole thing, because it's the prevalent one at the moment, isn't it? I don't get the obsession or the excitement even with international footballs. And I debate some people on this, some people whose views I really, really respect at the same time as well. And people see it differently. But the international break, I am delighted when we have certain players that don't go. My happiest thing was when Salah doesn't go for Egypt's friendly. That was great. We got the Nunes news from Jurgen Klopp after the United FA Cup game, didn't we? Saying, you know, that he was feeling his hamstrings a little bit. Hopefully it wasn't too serious. And he doesn't go. That was the best positive news for me. I have to be completely honest, crystal clear about that. Also, there were certain things that were, yeah, we can say positive, that Endo, his second game now doesn't take place, doesn't he? Because of Japan, North Korea issues. So it's great that he's coming home. Those were the happiest things for me in the international break. I struggle to see it, why Liverpool fans get so excited about Diaz and his great assist the other night for Colombia against Spain in that friendly. I also, you know, the Boslai playing the full 90 in that Hungarian one. Yes, he scored. And I get people going to say in rhythm, all that type of thing. No, not for me. They risk getting injured. We know Luis Diaz went there with a groin issue, didn't we? We know Luis Diaz went there tired, he's played a lot of football, and all of a sudden he's doing more lung-busting runs down the wing in the weirdest ever West Ham Olympic Stadium, isn't it, that Colombia are playing Spain in. So, yeah, does that make me happy? Probably the only solace, if anything, I took in that realistically was the fact that he's not travelling far. We're not going to go long-haul flights to Colombia. But Robbo was playing, Virgil was playing, Gakpo was playing in that Holland versus Scotland. There's many, many more players that are out and about doing international things. If anything, I keep people saying, oh, give them rhythm, give them tune-up. Give them 20 minutes of this freaking Legends game today or whatever that's going on. Why not just play them in that? Everyone would wet themselves if you bothered about seeing them that much. Like, have Diaz just out wide from Torres. You know, all those types of things. Gerrard in behind Salah if you want rhythm. Oh, no. Just absolute no international breaks. And I see a contradiction. It kind of bugs me a little way. Because the whole England thing, and I get that. I don't watch the England team at all. I have no interest in it whatsoever. I know there'll be some passionate England fans, fine. Some of our players will love representing the country. Absolutely fine. I get that. But for me, this is one of the crux of the big decision topic I'm talking about is why is everyone trying to press the case of Harvey Elliott to get in the senior squad? Why? Should he be in that senior squad? Yes. Now, this isn't being derogatory of Kobbie Mainoo at all. I think he's a kid with real talent. Should different players, but should he be in there ahead of him? Yes. Should Harvey Elliott be in there ahead of other people based on current form, current performance? Absolutely, 1,000%. Do you want him in that England side, in that England squad? No. Why? There's a Euros coming this summer. This is a 20-year-old kid who's played an awful lot of minutes. Do you genuinely want him travelling, going to the Euros with England under Gareth Southgate? Absolutely not. Do you want him playing potentially more minutes, not having a summer rest, not having a summer break, coming back refreshed for a new manager, new head coach, whatever you want to call it? Of course you do. So why are people so desperate? It'll feel almost like if Harvey Elliott did get in this England squad, the senior squad, the people would be like, yes, brilliant. I think it's terrible. I have zero interest in Harvey Elliott getting there. I have zero interest. And it's the exact same conversation for me for Curtis Jones in that regard as well. Everyone's pressing that bizarrely as well. That he's had injuries, he's, you know, got to recover. Why? You want him to take any risks over the summer when we know how his body is? Absolutely not. The thing that, and listen, when I'm saying this for Joe Gomez, it's clear, as Jurgen Klopp's talked about, he loves international duty. He's a London boy, proud, you know, proud to play for his country. Fair play to him. So that bit, I'm not trying to be derogatory in any way about that whole feeling that he'll have. You know, don't get me wrong on this. I don't want him in that England squad. I don't. We know he's picked up injuries on international duty before. Maybe the second biggest surprise, because I think his overall form has been a surprise to a lot of people and his success in a number of positions. The second biggest surprise, I'd say, with Joe Gomez this season so far, the lack of, you know what I'm going to talk about as I'm touching wood, etc. That's the desk, by the way, nothing else. So, yeah, I'm just not looking. I'm worrying something could happen. It's happened before. Why? I just can't understand it. So my big decision, say, ultimately for me, you'll all have it differently. You might be proud of watching nations play. Fair play, power to you. International football for me, in a word, wank. Not interested. Want our players to come home. And in fact, if you're wondering, thinking, oh, no, everyone's proud, like, cut the shit completely. Saka, Arsenal title challenger, withdrawn from that England squad. City, The two Portuguese lads, Ruben Dias, Bernardo Silva, the right himself, back. They're out the second game for Portugal, which I think is another friendly as well. City and Arsenal are getting them pulled back. Make no mistake about it. I don't know why we're not doing it more or really talking to our players or the nations and saying, like, let's tie so Bosley needs rhythm. Got a million games to play between now and the end of the season. You can do behind closed doors, all sorts. Why, like, this Kosovo game they've got on, I think, Tuesday. Why? It serves no one for him to have involvement in that. And that is my honest thing. Start being selfish. Fergie did it all the time, we know. City and Arsenal are doing it. We need to do it more. We really do. I don't care. You can feel what you want about international football, but for me, there we go. Other big decision is where you sit now in terms of the title race. Now, a lot of people say this. I'm not sure I agree, but I get the premise of the title race begins with 10 games or whatever it is to go. I've heard a few people say. I'm not saying I agree with it, but even if you take that premise, even if you don't, we are in a title race, aren't we? We are in a big title race with two competitors. You will have your thoughts on Arsenal, City, who's the biggest threat, all the games coming up and all those. But where do we sit in the title race is the biggest question. So you look at a few things. And the biggest thing that was a bit of a kick in the nuts today, realistically, is the fixture updates for April. The Premier League have tried to bum us royally. Like, let's be clear on that. Absolutely do us over in those fixtures. I mean, for those who haven't seen, it's the premise of 3 games in 6 days. So it starts with Fulham, the Super Sunday, the 4:30. It's scheduled to be Everton, the Merseyside derby away, at 8 p.m. How they'd love to take points off us, like, you know, make no mistake about that whatsoever. And then after a Wednesday evening, 8 p.m. kickoff. As it stands, Saturday, the early kickoff, the lunchtime, 12:30. Another 12:30, the final one they can give us. West Ham at the Olympics. Again, a team that we hate, would love to dent everything to do with us. That's the fixtures they've given us. 3 in 6 days. Never wants to talk about the Premier League and all the balance. Like, do me a favour, honestly. The only thing that can change, I'm sure people have seen this as well at the same time, is that West Ham game could get moved to Sunday, depending if Arsenal qualify for the next stage of the Champions League, i.e. get through against Bayern Munich. So that could still change. There's a few caveats around a few fixtures for City and Arsenal as well based on that. But if you think it's an equal balance, 3 away games in 6 days. I think that just tells you everything you need to know about how the Premier League see it. So when we're talking about the title race and where I think we stand, I think that puts a dent in it. I've got to be honest about that. That is, you know, none of us looked at that or who've seen that, looked at that and thought, brilliant, that's great. Let's not pretend for one single second. Yeah, it's not great news. You've probably seen as well, like me, all the supercomputer predictors, such as City have got a 42% chance, Liverpool 31%, you know, all the things with Arsenal being third. So very much as the bookies have got it at the same time across the board. City or Arsenal. That's how your supercomputers, your bookie, anyone who's predicting outside of the tribalism of the top three are seeing it. I don't see us as favourites personally. That doesn't mean I'm, you know, there's no one throwing in the towel here by any means. You know, we're looking forward to it, we're fighting for it. But these fixtures do not help us. I think we've got to be clear on that. So that's where I see it's kind of a negative in that way. There's some tough ones on our list. And listen, before anyone jumps on this, City, yes, are going to play Arsenal on the same weekend we start Brighton. You know, Arsenal have got to go to Tottenham, all those types of things. City have still got a few difficult ones as well. No doubts about it at all. They're not like they've got freebies all the way. we've got, but at the same time, don't just look at us and go, oh, they're all, I keep saying they're winnable. Well, yeah, they're all winnable, of course, but it's the realism of the whole thing. There's some tough ones in there. Tottenham, Anfield, they'd love to dent it. I have to see what happens with them and whether that could again get rearranged based on European. Everton, United away. I mean, almost in reverse of the Arsenal double at the Emirates this season, where we beat them in the FA Cup and lost in the league. You're looking for a reversal. But that one on April the 7th, especially after what happened before the international game, we should be stoked and buzzing for that to put that right. But there's that. Injuries are looking better. I think that is going to play a part as well. We're a bit uncertain, aren't we? Trent, the suggestion is Sheffield United. Jota is back, like jogging, we know. You want to get these players back rapid. Curtis Jones is expected. I'm not counting Badge, you know, his training. That's not being, again, derogatory. I just think it's anything that the season's unexpected or unrealistic in that regard. But can we win it? Absolutely. We'll need luck. All teams will need luck. We'll need certain things to fall our way. But the big decision was, are we title favourites? This is being negative in any way. I don't mind not being favourites. We always suit the other role, don't we, when we're chasing and going hard? Yeah, maybe, just not for me right now. And the 115ers, whatever you say about them, and we can say many, many things in a whole different pod, they have got the experience of this as well, haven't we? I know we're supposed to be shouting that we have, but yeah, from where that goes. So that was the big decision about title favourites for me. The other ones that I've seen a lot of people talking about, which, saying we've been talking about it, whether it be in Media Matters with David Lynch or various pods that have come up or I've listened to on Anfield Index, your first choice midfield just now. This is a funny one, this, because honestly, I see whenever people pick the third, they focus on the fourth or the fifth. There's a fascination with it, absolutely. What I mean by that is if someone goes, Sir Bosley, Jones, McAllister, people are like, what are you talking about? You can't leave Endo. Additionally, if you put Endo in, how can you drop Curtis Jones? That's the one I've seen, like, start the season, how good he's been. The one thing I'm surprised at, pleasantly surprised now, is how strong the claims are of all these players. And I mean that, generally how strong the claims are of all those midfielders. And I'm talking about a bit of a five now as well. And maybe there's a fifth at the bottom end, don't get me wrong, but let's just be clear on a few things. Like Alexis McAllister, I have no interest in anyone who's not got him in their starting midfielder, or in the midfield, sorry. He's a key player. He's definitely our key midfielder at the moment. He's making things happen all around the pitch. He is a key source at the moment of goals and assists. He's a real threat to us. I can't, and this may be too far, who knows, but I'm struggling to remember in this recent period a time when we had a Liverpool midfielder in such good form. And I mean someone who could cover back and forth. You might be talking like going back a fair while to Stevie and things like that. And people are going to correct me and send us whatever. But just in terms of general form, absolutely sensational. In fact, elements of his game have been world-class, I think, recently. So he's on the team sheet to start with. I think the key thing by McAllister being in there as well, for me, that brings Endo into the equation on the basis of Endo playing the six to allow McAllister to do a bit more recently. I know when David Lynch has been on Media Matters, he said it quite a few times recently. He feels he made a mistake. He said very much McAllister in the six, brilliant, keep him there, allows him to sit deeper. Very much been honest in the last few pods and said, actually, it's more about McAllister getting further forward. Yeah, and allowing him to express, create, do things and being that key player, which I actually agree with. In all honesty, that Endo has still been absolutely sensational. It's almost been in 2024, hasn't it? As it, you know, it kind of started at the back end of 2023, but 2024 has been sensational for us. Such a key player, just that fight, that niggle. You think how well he did against City to basically get Kevin De Bruyne taking off and throwing his strop with Pep on the sideline. The big thing was Endo there. Glad, absolutely ecstatic that this North Korea game is, or Korean Republic, whoever it is not going ahead. So he's coming back to the AXA and having that bit of a rest before the running. Because I do feel, especially against United at Old Trafford, that FA Cup, he did start to look a little bit tired for me as well. So I thought that is a good result as well. So the two in there, for me.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
McAllister and Endo there in our strongest. We should only lose one position. And I don't even like saying this at all because it's not to be derogatory as a Bosley or Jones. But as it stands right now, and again, it's right now because Chris is injured, so that plays a part. But Szoboszlai right now, for me, gets there. I mean, it's been an interesting one for him, hasn't he? Started off the season like an absolute house on fire. I mean, we're seeing unbelievable performances. You think back all that way to that Bournemouth 3-1, even when we were 10 men in the first home game of the season, how much ground he covered, how it burning people down that right wing, all the sorts of things he was doing. You're thinking, just a little bit of tweaking, a little bit here and there, this guy is going to be unbelievable. And we saw it even more, wonder strikes, all that type of thing. And it's almost like that standard's been held against him almost in some way. And yes, there's been dips. He's young. It's to be expected. There's been the big debate about whether Szoboszlai's been overplayed as well, hasn't there? And, you know, his injuries. And annoyingly, he's been in that category of re-injured player. What I mean by that is a player that's had an injury and then got out a game or two games later with the exact same thing, doesn't he? Joining Trent. Joined in Mo Salah in that unfortunate category. And that again, medical side is probably a discussion for a different day. But I think he has to start. Now, just to be clear, if Curtis Jones was to play ahead of any of those, and I love Curtis Jones, just because it's not like we're not 12. It's not I love a player, hate a player type of thing. But just for me, right now, sometimes some tough calls need to be made. Curtis Jones would be the spare. And listen, his form, that's the nature, I'd say, of Liverpool's midfield this season. There's been a period where you've looked at Curtis Jones and been, he's the man. There's been a period you've looked at Szoboszlai and thought, yeah, he looks top class. He's the one to drive it forward. You've looked recently and gone, McAllister is the player, never mind the midfielder, the one who's making everything tick and linking it together. He's absolutely crucial. The start of the season, what many thought about Endo, including me, I could be honest about that, against what you're thinking about Endo now is very differently. So, or look at differently, I should say. So that's crucial for me in terms of how you view the midfield. And even recently, Harvey Elliott has almost been that, not great at starting, but, you know, can do special things when coming on for 25 minutes, half an hour at the end. I actually think it's fair to say Harvey's gone up a level. I think that is fair to say, especially maybe sometimes circumstances dictate things. So, you know, the injuries, the crisis, playing in multiple positions, ever since that almost Carabao Cup and those weeks, really taken things on his shoulders. And especially against City, I thought he was brilliant. So I understand people that have him getting more in their argument. So, yeah, the big decision for me, the first choice midfield would be right now, Endo, McAllister, Szoboszlai. Very much nip and tuck. It is no way clear by any means of, you know, Jones, Elliot. I could understand if people are saying, no, they should be in that. I can make an argument for those. That's what I love about Liverpool's midfield at the moment. Gravenberch, probably a bit of a different discussion, but he's a tier below those ones for me, based on what we've seen. So, yeah, Brighton, provided everyone's fit, and that's the key phrase, I do think that will be the midfield that lines up. That is my big decision on that. The other one I'd say, or other big decisions that are coming up recently, I was fascinated by the kids, the academy, and how people see it. People say this is the start of a bright future. I think it's already started. That fascinated me. But are we getting carried away in the moment? Have we got too hyped? I saw the other thing on a few social media posts, don't get me wrong, around, yeah, we need the senior players to be around. They've done the moment. It was, you know, the goodwill, whatever you want to call it, has fueled it to an extent. But here we are realistically. So where do we stand on that? Joel Quansah has been brilliant. Joel Quansah is a serious option for Liverpool. Joel Quansah is Liverpool's third choice central defender. And obviously, how you argue any different. Konate didn't make Man City. Quansah starts that. And just to be clear, he could have put Joe Gomez in there and done a bit of a reshuffle. He had options, but Quansah started there. And there was a nervousness around Quansah, Haaland, you know, what I said. He was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant. We suggested Konate could be back for United, but he didn't make it. Jurgen Klopp keeps Joel Quansah there. Joel Quansah is, as it stands, Liverpool's third choice centre-back. And he is third choice. There's no, absolutely zero disgrace and zero anything derogatory in saying that when he's got VVD and Konate ahead of him. Nothing disgraceful with that at all. Superb talent. Massive ceiling, massive potential. So when you talk about how good are these kids, we're talking special with Quansah. Connor Bradley and David Lynch put him, well, I think he got a lot of unnecessary criticism and people just not listening fully to what he said, either in the pod or even on the clip that I saw on social media. Because he talked about in his strongest lineup, Connor Bradley being ahead of Trent Alexander-Arnold, using, if we were playing at Old Trafford, how would you see that? Let's just be clear, I understood that logic and I can easily argue that case without doubt. I'm not sure I fully agree on that, but that doesn't mean it's a wild take to talk about in nonsense. Or is it like threatened that the moon was made of cheese or something? A suggestion that Trent could go into midfield and possibly Bradley at right back. It's not the first time, it's not the last time, whether you agree with it or not, that argument's going to be made. And you understand it. So why people did the faux outrage thing, I have zero idea. But Connor Bradley, a talent special. Really special for me. Could, and you look at his stats already, the amount of goal contributions he's done, how he's gotten on. The funniest thing it's not funny in a way, but it just made me chuckle when people were saying, oh, look at Old Trafford, Garnacho, this, he really struggled this. That shows it, you know, compared to Trent. Are we all just ignoring those years ago where Trent Alexander-Arnold was pretty much at fault for the two goals to Rashford where we lost 2-1 in those early Jurgen Klopp days? Just pretending that didn't happen as though that's the thing to make him say he's not as good as people. It astonishes me. I don't think he was individually at fault, Bradley, for any of the goals, personally. I don't think he had his greatest performance. There's not many in a sample size, as people like Sam Maguire would talk to you about. But yeah, I don't understand why the furore over his performance or the Trent thing. And anyway, getting back to how good are these two kids, or those two, I'm going to isolate specifically, Quansah and Bradley, they're special. They are special. We should be absolutely delighted. They've saved us a fortune. You hope these two players go on to make hundreds and hundreds of appearances. That's the potential. That's the ability they've got. The others, the supporting cast, depending on how you view them. I think there's a lot of hope for these. The expectation's not the same thing. Bobby Clark has looked very accomplished, very solid, very much doesn't really play like his age, if that makes sense. Seems to make sensible decisions, you know, read the game, tick it over well at times as well. Just, again, it's still a bit of a boy developing that way as well. So that will come. So I think he's got a career ahead of him without doubt in the Premier League, hopefully with us. But yeah, I'm not going to pretend he's the next sensational best player and anything like that. But that's not to be derogatory. It's just in terms of how good do we think these kids are was the question, but real potential. Jaden Danz, again, it's a very, very small sample size, but it's great to be excited, isn't it, about what you've seen, the finishes in the FA Cup against Southampton. Even just the cameo as the dropping deep against Forest, that link play. I mean, let's be honest, some people are pushing him ahead of Cody Gakpo right now, aren't they? I think that is being carried away personally. The Gakpo debate is for another day, to be clear. But yeah. And then the other ones like Kumar scoring for the under-21s, James McConnell, all those. I'm not looking at those kids and saying they're not going to make it. I'm not looking at those kids to say they are. It's hard. It's so hard to judge right now. It's been a great moment. And the Carabao Cup was special. It's okay to say that. People talk about it as a Carabao. It was special. The whole context, what happened, how the kids did that day. No two ways about it. It was special. Does that mean they can kick on to what we want long term, i.e. be a consistent presence in Liverpool's first team squad? I'm not necessarily sure for all of them. Some I'd bet solid money on. So when we talk about, is it a moment or is it long term? The answer's mixed. Just those ones I've talked about, that Bradley, Kwanzaa, Danz, McConnell, Clark. If you're saying confidently all those will be mainstays of the Liverpool team in the near future, that's a big decision I think is tough to justify. I also think it's too tough to go. The other one, they could drop out, you know, and maybe some don't quite have a career at this level consistently. Who knows? But the big decision for me, it's a great moment overall. And then the final thing that I suppose big decisions that are coming up, this is not a conclusive answer, by the way, because it's wrong to say when you talk about player of the year for Liverpool so far, young player of the year, you're more talking about contenders. And there's a lot to still be shaped in this season, i.e. people could still go up, down the rankings, things can still happen. Let's be honest, you hope someone almost with a successful season places themselves right at the top of those rankings and it becomes a shoe-in possibly. You could argue that it's great if 4 and 5, or, you know, either way, whatever you think of the players, the team pots, aren't we? We want to see the title, we want to see the Europa. But who do we think are in contention for the player and the young players or player of the season as it stands? So I'll give you who I see are my top three. And this is tough, by the way. There's some, I'm not going to go through like people to shout out, but I didn't make it. I'm just going to talk through who I see as my top three right now. And I'll do them in kind of ranking order again, remembering it can change quite rapidly. But for me, in position number one right this minute, Virgil van Dijk. I hate to say though, he's back to his best. I think it was just a difficult season all round, but you look at his aerial duels, the general success, the impact he's had, how important he is as our skipper, where he's taken us to. I actually think Virgil van Dijk is now our most important player. What I mean by that is we have a lot of important players, but if you look at this season, we don't want to see this longer term, but even with Mo Salah out, other forwards were able to take on that mantle, weren't they? Realistically, in terms of Nunes was getting goals, Jota for his injury was getting goals, even midfields really contributed, haven't they, with goals at key times like McAllister, Szoboszlai, Harvey, you know, that we were able to an extent. We don't want to, and I love the man, but prove we could cope somewhat, largely. I think you've got to say that without Mo Salah. I'm not saying we want to repeat that. I want him to renew and all those things. Well, people jump on that. The other reason I would say Van Dijk is our most important player is Alisson would have been in that conversation for me. He's not as good for 1 second, but look how well Queeve's done to cover him. He's made some great saves. If his preventative XG, as people have, you know, tweeted or posted, is so high. He's been crucial, especially thinking like the Nottingham Forest games when he's won us points. Yeah, I think that's also added to the argument for me that Virgil van Dijk is our most important player. And he is, as it stands, number one in the Player of the Year rankings to date with a long way to go. Number two for me, Mo Salah. I mean, the goals, the assists in the games. I mean, he's out for a couple of months practically. And he's, you know, in the last few games, he's got goals, hasn't he? He's right back up there as well in terms of goal contributions, rivaling Haaland, Ollie Watkins in the total numbers. And that's with a couple of months off practically as well through his injury situation. Even when he doesn't play well, he's still the main man, isn't he? You have to be honest about that in terms of our attacking chance creation, where he leads on that, assists, where, you know, all those things. Mo Salah has again, we said it on but Salah. It's just standard now. In fact, I've started to see tweets where to try and change the anyone but Salah, they tried to make it the Ian Rush element, hasn't he? Or comparison, isn't it? You know, all these types of things. That shows you just where Mo Salah sits. But for me right now, in terms of the rankings, Mo Salah would be second if the season finished today. In third place, and please, as I'm saying this, it's all right. You can think differently. I can make a case for Nunes even being in the third. I don't know why people argue with this. I think he couldn't be for his goals and overall assists, what he brings. I can make Ibu in there. I can bring Trent into the mix. You make a case for many. But for me right now, Alexis McAllister, he would be third place based on, again, the positions he's played, being the six, what he's done for the team, and now how he's been in recent form as well. Very much a recent surgery, the key player for us recently. For me, the overall chance creation, but it's the mix, isn't it, of the positive and the attacking side and the defensive side that he's put together. But especially for me recently, and I don't want to start taking all the things off Ben Boxack because God bless him, the hipster himself. I know he does the stats, but I don't want to start robbing those. But I'm sure you've all seen them recently for Alexis. He would be third place right now for me. And as I said, just to be clear, I make a case for Trent going in there. I can make a case for Konate going in there. The great thing this season, and I mean it's been brilliant, is how many players have played well and should be in the chat for our team of the season, our player of the season. But for me right now, we finished today, VVD, Salah, McAllister. People are going to be going mad. I've not even mentioned Alisson. I get it. He's been sensational as well. It's just been great all round. But that's the top three for me right now, with the big caveat, it can all change completely, can't it? Which brings us, I suppose, to finish off on the young player side. How do we see the young player of the season? So there's three in the mix, aren't there, really, I'd say, in terms of there's notable mentions for Bobby Clark, James McConnell, players like that. You know, they should really be at mention. This isn't being derogatory to them again. But what is the ranking order for them, in my eyes, for that big decision? In terms of young player of the year right now, I would give it to Harvey Elliott. I would give it, as in from early on in the early games, been a huge impact as a substitute. I know we're going to talk about maybe struggled at times when starting, but 3 goals, 8 assists. That's his return. And quite a few of those have come recently. Quite a few of those have come when we've had injuries galore. Sometimes he's been able to play in the forward line, hasn't he? Sometimes he's been the only midfielder available. He's played in a range of competitions, a couple of positions that way as well. So for me, Harvey Elliott, especially with the fact he's gone up a level recently, just takes the number one spot. And I mean that, just takes it if it was to finish today, because the other two are right snapping on his heels, and I can make a case for the other two to be up there. Jarrell Kwanzaa, been brilliant ever since he came on in that game where we were surprised and nervous. 10 men at St James's Park against Newcastle. Never looked back. I still think back to that Wolves game, the early kickoff after the international break, where it was a bit panicky early doors. And he was the most calm defender on the pitch without Van Dijk. Without Van Dijk in that Wolves game, you know, he was the most calm because Van Dijk was suspended after the Newcastle red card, wasn't he? He got the goal in the Europa when he was man of the match in a terrible game away against USG. The City, the United games, that he's just been so good. And I could argue him for first. I really could. And he is a special talent, but Jarrell Kwanzaa, second in the Young Player of the Year for me. And again, snapping on their heels, Connor Bradley. Felt for the kid because he had that injury pre-season. He's never, you know, we're worried, are we ever going to see him this year? Came back. And again, been brilliant throughout. Look at those goal contributions. I mean, 8 goal contributions already in that short period of time. How important he was, again, without Trent. And we were a bit panicky, where's this going to lead to? But to even have forced a conversation for some where you're saying, do we push Trent into midfield? I don't agree personally, but that is a conversation that isn't just a wild one. Yeah, you have to be honest about that. So for me, Harvey, Jarrell Kwanzaa, Connor Bradley, that would be my ranking order if the season was to finish today. And just to be clear, again, Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year. I hope, you know, we maybe that someone plays brilliant each week or they're all forcing, you know, you're making the argument that I can't split them. You'd love to say that, wouldn't you? Get to season, we've won it all. I can't split them. But for me personally, that would be my Young Player, Player of the Season rankings right now. And there we go, ladies and gents. Hopefully that gave you some light relief. Maybe not. Who knows? That's your big decision to make. But for me, Dave Davis, that was the Big Decisions Anfield Index.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.